listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Bondage, sorrow, and night. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into thy freedom, gladness, and light. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my sickness, into thy health. Out of my want, and into thy wealth. Out of my sin, and into thyself. Jesus, I come to thee. From Philippians chapter 2, beginning at the first verse. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being in one accord, in one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Let's pray that we'll have today what they had at Philippi, and what Paul wanted for them for the present and the future. Our Father in heaven, we come to thee in the name of Christ Jesus, thy Son, he who alone can give the blessings here described, and through whom alone these at Philippi had them. And Father, as we read of that mind of Christ, we think of him giving glory to thee, him being equal with thee, him submitting to thee, and him especially taking on him the form of a man so he could die for us on the cross. And Father, make us to see that he has now been highly exalted, given a name which is above every name, that at his name every knee should bow. We pray, Father, that that may take place, first of all, in the church. And we give thanks that there is a hope that it can, because of Christ and through Christ, that the church can have his mind in the way of faith, in the way of believing thy word and having faith in both thee and in Christ. We pray, Father, that this might take place, even as thou, Lord Jesus, did pray for it before thy death, over and over, that they might be one. That they might be one. And we know the only way we can be one is to have thy mind. We pray, Father, for this great and needed blessing first in the name of Christ. We also pray for the other blessings needed that have been promised to be added. If we seek first thy kingdom, we pray for those elderly, the sick. We pray for the troubled homes. We pray for others homeless because of earthquake, flood, those in hunger and sorrow. Those in war-torn lands, we pray, Father, for thy blessing on all of them through Christ. Amen. As we have looked at this in the past, seeing where Paul told them in the first part of this chapter, that they be like-minded, to have the same love, to be of one accord, of one mind. And in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. There is only hope for that in the church. Though the world may hear this, the world has no power to do it. It is only when, as we read further in this chapter, there is a hope in those people and us today, having what Paul states, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Before we come into this blessed relationship with God through Christ that these Philippians had, we are blind. We are proud. We are dead in sin. All this is true for every one of us. Even in the church, sadly, sometimes in the pulpit, everywhere. It is only in Christ. If we could only understand that, if we could only come to that, that which those who first were told about him didn't know. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He was the light, but the darkness comprehended it not. But here's the people that had been blessed, had been given the beginning of this new life in Christ. And now Paul is continuing to urge them on, not only as we read in the latter part of the words that we read, to work out their salvation with fear and trembling, not to work for it, but to work it out, what God had worked in them. And this is part of it, all here working for especially unity, that is to the glory of God, that is for the blessing of the world, the blessing of the church as well. Paul gives the answer. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Not only can it be done, but it is the only way it can be done. The only way. Peter wrote earlier, there is none other name given under heaven whereby we can be saved. Saved from sinful ways. Saved from strife. Saved from division. Saved from pride. Hatred, all of that, which divides and divides and divides. Yes, churches and homes, as well as other places in the world, nations, civil war in nations, divisions. But in Christ, there can be, what Paul said, like-minded, one mind, lowliness of mind. Christ had that just before his death. He washed the feet of the apostles and said, I have set an example for you. And as he did that to them, they were to do it to others, to each other. It took some time. Even that same night, they had strife among themselves. Who was the greatest? They had not learned from Christ that lesson. But in time, they were taught and were described later as being in one accord, in one place, in prayer and supplication. They had arrived at being in one mind and having the mind of Christ. This mind, this kind of mind, this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. God's mind. And then explaining further. He who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That person, this mind which was in Christ Jesus, thought it not robbery, could say, I and the Father are one, declared it. And it was one of the reasons why he was crucified, because he made himself the Son of God, was the accusation. But he was already, by God's decree, God's Son. This day have I begotten thee, the psalmist said in Psalm 2. And he was equal with God, as we can read in Psalm 45. Thy throne, O God, is forever. Speaking of Christ. And it is that mind, that person, high, glorious, the Creator with the Father, that humbled himself And it is especially that mind that we need. Lowliness of mind, we read in the third verse, let each esteem other better than themselves. What a change there would be in the church. In each church, in each separate church, denominations, whatever it may be. If we had lowliness of mind, esteeming other better than themselves. And as I said in the past messages, I'll repeat now here in the beginning. If we would just begin with thinking of one thing, that others are better. When we look objectively, we might look at two churches that separated, and both think the other is wrong, both think they are right. We look at both, and we might say, well, there's things wrong with both. We also might say, there's things right with both. But they don't see it in each other. Each sees the wrong of the other, but not the right. And here, this is the word of God. This is God's command. This is from him who is the head of the church, speaking here through Paul, of whom he said, he is my witness. He's the ambassador. He's the one not only reconciling the world through Christ, but he's the one that is speaking the mind of Christ and telling us to have that mind, showing it to us, showing us the greatness of Christ, being equal with God, and humbling himself, taking on him no reputation, took on the form of a servant, was made in likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. As you can read through Scripture, who would die? Even for a righteous man. And Christ died for sinners. That's why he went to the cross. He knew who he was going to die for. He knew that everyone that he would die for was a sinner. A God-hating sinner. A neighbor-hating sinner. A proud sinner. Everyone. If you're God's child, he died for you. He saw you as that. He knew that you needed his death for your sin. That is exactly the same as your brother, your fellow church member, those in other churches that believe on Christ. And it's true that not everybody believes rightly, but just remember, God had to make you believe rightly. And God can make the others believe rightly. When the apostles were in one accord, in one place, in prayer and supplication, I think they were confessing probably their sin, their pride, but praying for others to be made one with them. And it did take place. We could read in Acts 2, the Lord added daily to the church, one by one. He took sinners out of darkness and brought them into the light of Christ. One by one, gave them the mind of Christ. And some of them, only the beginning of it. And here, these at Philippi, had earned in a good measure. We can read of Paul's description of them, your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. But he is continuing here to exhort them to have this happen, to make it continue and increase. This is what is needed, and this is certainly what's needed today. If we are to have a revival, we are to think like Christ. Think like Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. And we certainly have to search the whole Scriptures to find that mind. We have it already in the Old Testament, in creation. God, through Christ, created the world. And then we have it as well in all of his messages recorded, all of his deeds, all of what was done. And then, as we have it here, through the pen of Paul. And we also have it through the pen of Peter, the pen of James, others that wrote the Holy Scriptures, all showing us the mind of Christ with the Father, before the Father, and to glorify the Father. just before he died, he prayed, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that he may glorify thee." John 17, verse 1. Then in the fifth verse of that same chapter, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory that I had with thee before the world was." We don't know a lot about that, but we can read part of it. We can read in Ephesians 1, "The glory of God's grace was also the glory of the Son," as it's described in that chapter. In Ephesians 1, we read, "According as he hath chosen us in him," that is in Christ, "before the foundation of the world." Going back to John 17, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory I had with thee before the world was." The Father and the Son were planning what took place here in Philippi. Planning to have those people to be of one mind. Planning for Christ, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, to make himself of no reputation, to take upon him the form of a man. Though it did not happen till after 4,000 years after the creation, it took place as God said it would, telling Adam, telling Abraham, telling David, speaking to us by the pen of Isaiah. Over and over, that message is given, and it continued to be given by the four gospel writers, two of them showing Christ's birth, pointing it out particularly, all four of them showing his death that is described here, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We see that same humbleness described by Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 53. "As a lamb before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth." He was quiet in his suffering. He submitted. He had this mind that is described here. And that is the mind that God is saying to you and me, "Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus." Do you know that's a message for every church? Every group that is worthy of being called the church of the living God, the church of which Christ is the head, this is the message. And what a wonderful thing it would be if that would begin to take place. Today we have separation. 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 There are those who are called Catholics, those who are called Protestants. Then amongst the Protestants there are the Reformed, the Baptist, the Presbyterian, the Methodist, and many, many others. Over 200 denominations just in our nation, the United States of America alone. All separate, beside those that would call themselves undenominational, independent, separate. And then when we have these different groups, it's not just the groups, but amongst themselves, divided, divided, divided. Some calling themselves, even in one denomination, liberal, another conservative, even amongst the conservatives, ultra-conservative and conservative, all divided, all separate minds. Are there then wrong minds? Yes, something wrong. Something wrong when we're not obeying God. We say, well, we can't agree with them. There are those that we could agree with more, as I've said before today and last week. Some that have at least some better things. Something we could learn from. There's people that lie. Even in their lies, there's a measure of truth. Just like in our truth, there's a measure that there's a lie. It's not fully, completely, rightly, perfectly true. Not in full accord with the Word of God. We see it now through a glass darkly. That's what we're told. But here's a picture of the light. And we have considered 2 weeks before that emphasis of what Paul said they were to have. Like-minded. One mind. Lowliness of mind. But today I want to think of him of whom Paul is saying, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. He who was perfect. He who was one with the Father. He of whom the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Then was willing to make himself of no reputation. Before Pilate, much of the time, and before the accusation of the high priest and the others there, he was silent. Pilate says, don't you answer? He did give some answers to Pilate. But as we said before, he was the king of truth. And this is part of the truth that comes from Christ. If you are to have consolation in Christ, if you are to have blessing in Christ, you not only have to believe what he did, which is spoken of here on the cross, you not only have to believe that he has been highly exalted, but you need to believe what he taught Paul, and what in turn Paul taught this church at Philippi, and is teaching every one of us today. This is the Word of God. Let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. The right mind. Another place we read in Scripture, be not high-minded, but fear. And there's much of high-mindedness, even in this sad time of departure, this sad time of weakness, this sad time of broken homes, this sad time of awfulness in the nations all over. And we're still high-minded. Here's the answer, the command, and the example. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Please join us in prayer for revival, for awakening, and especially that the church might be made one. Thank you. Join us again next week.
To God be the glory.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.